and welcome everybody to the Poker Fuse Podcast. It is November 27th, 2019, episode number 35. I'm your host, Mike Gentile, along with my co-host, Nick Jones. This week on the podcast... Great fanfare, Party Poker has debuted a new mobile app for Android and iOS. Portrait mode, throwable objects, rabbit hunting cards, and a new diamond currency are some of the highlights. We take you behind the scenes with Party's major new product launch. The fledgling Run at Once Poker has unveiled Legends, its new rewards program. The weekly system, which works much more like traditional tiered loyalty programs, runs alongside its unique splash the pot mechanism. And finally, PokerStars is enjoying a surge in its cash game tables thanks to a pair of promotions running back-to-back on its online poker room. Not seen in over 18 months, these promos are clearly proving a hit with players, enough to propel the giant back to the number one spot in the cash game traffic rankings.
On Monday, after a few weeks of delay, Party Poker unveiled a big new update to its mobile app. So live now on Android and iOS, players can enjoy a pretty significant overhaul to the online poker experience. It both introduces a new portrait layout for tables and curiously introduces this new kind of social diamonds currency that players can earn and then spend at the table on kind of fun table interactions.
Yeah, there's been a pretty big buzz about this new release. And both of those features that you mentioned seem to be gathering or gaining attention out in the poker world. Let me ask you this, Nick. Portrait mode, people are making a big deal about it. Why? What makes it so important? Why is this such a big thing?
Yeah, it's. I think it's perhaps the natural way that most people will want to play, you know, on their mobile phones. Like, it's certainly a more casual experience. You know, the tradition is playing landscape, and I think that's more what you'd expect because tables on the desktop are in landscape orientation. They're wider than they are taller. So I think that was the obvious thing that operators did when they took their clients to the mobile environment. But perhaps I didn't fully appreciate how people use phones. I think a lot of phone apps are in portrait mode. So if you want to be playing table of poker, but you're also checking, you know, your messaging, you're checking Instagram and stuff, and that gets switched back to portrait mode, you're constantly rotating your phone. So this feels like a lot more of a casual way to play poker in portrait. And it's not like Party Poker is the first to do this, but I think they're the first kind of major top tier operator. It's certainly something that we've seen influenced from like the more Asian focused online poker rooms. So GG Poker has a portrait layout, and some of the kind of private game networks, which maybe we'll get onto in a bit, but they have this layout. But in terms of the big tier like 888, PokerStars, this is the first time someone has tried this portrait layout.
Yeah, so, you know, I haven't had a chance to play it myself. I know that you have. And when I was seeing the write-ups come out and such, I was like, portrait mode, yeah. I mean, I use landscape when I play Hearthstone. And I guess I didn't really appreciate the portrait mode being a big deal until I heard you just now tell me that switching back and forth between different apps, which most of the other apps are in portrait mode. So that really sunk in when you said that, because if I'm a casual player and I'm multitasking on my phone, you know, there's a lot of things I'm going to want to do, and I'm not going to want to be continually changing the orientation of my phone. So hearing that really strikes me as, wow, okay, maybe this is bigger than I thought originally.
Yeah, I think perhaps the biggest thing that we saw was just that Party Poker have invested in their mobile product. It hasn't really seen an upgrade in 3 years. It definitely lagged behind the competition. Now, I will say that I don't have great experience with the mobile app landscape. I don't play poker on mobile. I don't really test out the clients. So my knowledge is I've been having to get up to speed the last couple of weeks. We trialed this in the GBC offices a few weeks ago before release and got it straight out. And at that point, I didn't really have much experience of what it was coming from and how it compares to some of the big operators. But definitely my first experience with it was very smooth. The landscape made a lot of sense. Another nice thing is on landscape, it's very natural to swipe left and right. Where on landscape, it feels, you know, it's a bigger motion to be swiping. So if you want to switch between tables, which you can do with this swiping action, portrait feels a lot more natural to do. So that was very nice. But yeah, so I think the big thing is they're investing in this, and this is definitely potentially a leapfrog over some of the competition in terms of this upgrade. Now there's a lot still to go, so they've only released this portrait mode for their spins, their lottery sit and go tables. They're doing it piecemeal, so they wanted to get this out. Ultimately, the whole software will be moving over to this, and they say they've already made big strides in doing this. So they've done the replayer. Is in portrait as well, and that supports up to 9-handed tables. So it's ready to go. They started with the spins because that's obviously the most casual, quick format game, and it's also only 3-handed, but they're saying they've already got this working at full ring tables in portrait mode. But so at the moment, it's kind of, they're in this halfway position, which when we were talking before about how it's not nice switching between portrait and landscape, well now, like, if you play a classic game, you have to be in landscape, and if you play a spins game, you have to be in portrait, and the software is actually locked down to only let you play one type of game, so you're not constantly switching between those two formats. So they're in this unfortunate kind of no man's land territory of only the sooner they can get this working on all their games, the better. But it was, broadly speaking, looked like a big step forward in terms of the overall experience.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how they, you know, implement this with full tables. As you said, this is currently only available for spins, and just the screenshots that I've seen seem spacious. You know, there's room, but if you were to add 9 players in your 4 tabling, I would imagine the screen is going to get quite busy and maybe even difficult to navigate with, you know, just with a single finger or thumb or however you're using to play. So that should be something that'll be interesting to see how they pull that off.
Yeah, and you touched on there a feature that is also, I think unique to Party Poker's app, is they've got this split screen mode in portrait. You can have 4 tables in split screen view. Now, that's definitely, obviously, that's very small tables, and I had a little play around with that, and even when you're just playing 3-handed spins, you know, that's a lot going on a small screen. I think the feature really comes onto its own if you're playing in a tablet, and I think other operators in their mobile tablet apps have got split screen, so this might not be entirely unique, but it makes quite a lot of sense there. But even on a phone, if you've got a large phone, you can definitely play 4 table split screen. But even if not, it's quite cool to just be able to, like, zoom out, get a snapshot of all 4 tables, you know, see the progression of different hands, then you can click on one table and it'll zoom back in to that table. And that was really slick to kind of move around 4 tables at once. So that worked really nicely.
So the other major feature is the introduction of the new social currency, diamonds. Now, these are this currency, you earn diamonds currently just by playing hands. And you can use them for a number of different things. I think probably the biggest one currently is being able to throw items at one of your opponents while at the table. This is, I think, an interesting concept, and I will be curious as to what direction they end up taking this. It has the potential to affect, I think, the greater online poker industry, and depending on how they end up taking it and how successful they are, you know, beyond the ability to throw items at people, there's also now the ability to rabbit hunt, which is to see cards that were not actually dealt in the hand because it was the hand had ended prior. And that's getting awfully close to revealing, well, it is revealing information about the hand. So it's getting awfully close to the actual poker play as opposed to throwing items at an opponent at the table. And it'll be interesting to see if they cross that line and use the social currency in a way that does have some implications into gameplay.
Yeah, so I'm certainly not familiar with any operator that has tried, you know, having a social currency baked into their real money online poker operation. It'll certainly be interesting to see ultimately if real money poker players care about it enough to, you know, right now you earn them simply by playing and you see your, you know, counter go up. And then when it gets to a certain amount, as you say, you can buy something to throw at your opponents. A feature that, you know, we have seen at other operators. 888 has always had this feature. PokerStars is trialing it. And as you say, rabbit hunt cards, which is kind of cool, but again, doesn't actually impact the game itself. So I imagine they'll keep it like that. You could see them, you know, selling custom themes or card decks or card backs or that kind of thing. So there's definitely stuff that you could do. It ultimately just comes down to whether enough players care about it for it to be a hit. There's certainly a lot of room to grow this idea if it's something that proves successful.
Yeah, it's interesting to see them implement this. And the first thing that came to mind, and though it's still quite a departure, was something that Run It Once is doing. So they give people rewards based on streaming, for example. With this one here, it stops short of actually paying people for accumulating these social currency, but it'll be interesting to see what direction they take it in. As you say, the plans are to be able to use it to buy new themes and perhaps card backs. And the rabbit hunting one doesn't affect the hand in play, but could affect your read on your opponent based on what cards are seen, especially if you had put your opponent on a particular range and some of the cards in those range appear from the rabbit hunting, that could help you further narrow their range, for example.
Yeah.
So it's kind of straddling the line there.
Yeah, I actually hadn't considered that. You're absolutely right. It does reveal very fractionally slightly more information that someone else wouldn't have based on card ranges. You're absolutely correct. I mean, going back to your first point about rewarding play, I mean, I think the one thing that perhaps I don't like so much about this is obviously Party Poker already rewards people for playing poker hands. They have a VIP program that gives you cash back for playing hands. Now, when you play hands, you also earn diamonds. And it just seems like those... I mean, I understand why they're separate because they're different things, but ultimately playing poker now just increases two different things, both your VIP points and your diamonds. And I know they've talked about this, and I think the system would work better, the diamonds, if you get them for completing achievements like winning a hand with a pocket pair or, you know, getting someone to fold pre-flop or these kinds of missions, achievements, things. It seems to make more sense that way. Otherwise, it just feels like another thing that you're grinding up, and ultimately the two are going to be intrinsically linked if you're just earning them as you play. One thing that we should probably touch on is, like, this idea has to be inspired by a poker network or a private poker club called PP Poker, which is not something we've really spoken about on this podcast before or talked about, but it's quite a big deal for, as we understand it, a lot of people play on this site. And in fact, we know that Rob Young, who is a consultant of GBC, and I think has had a lot of the ideas that they've been coming out with, plays in a private club on PP Poker. So PP Poker says they're not an online poker network. They allow you to run these private clubs. And if I set up a private club and then you can play on my site, and then I'm basically the operator of this private club, and I deal with cash outs and withdrawals and can deal with that entirely manually, offline with agents, things can get pretty sketchy because PP Poker says that they are, you know, they don't deal with real money. That's your own problem. So they say, like, we're a platform to you for you to run these private poker clubs. Anyway, there are a lot of these private poker clubs. Some of them are really high stakes and pretty big deals, and some of them are fly by night operations, and they have a diamonds currency. It's called diamonds. But you don't earn them as you play. You buy them in the store. They can't be withdrawn. But they are used for rabbit hunting cards. They are used for throwing objects. So, like, this is not inspired by that feature. But the diamonds thing goes a lot further than that. A, that's what you use to be able to host private poker games. So it's a big internal currency. It costs, I think, hundreds or thousands of dollars sometimes to run these big poker clubs. So that's what these diamonds are used for. And they, even in the game playing thing, they absolutely cross the line in that diamonds you can use to pay for extra time bank. So that 100% adds kind of adds value to the poker play having them. So that might be one thing which definitely would kind of cross the line into kind of manipulating the game in some way.
Yeah, I also will wonder if they can use this diamond currency to get people to promote their online poker room or their promotions via social media. You know, we've seen that certain, Poker Stars, for example, announced this week that they've given players the ability to link their Twitch accounts directly to their Poker Stars account within the Poker Stars client. We see, as I mentioned earlier, Run It Once rewarding players for live streaming. You know, those are different forms of social media, something maybe like Twitter or Facebook, which is a lot less involved. Perhaps an operator can come along and reward them, maybe not with direct reward dollars, but more with social currency because it's a smaller activity. And I wonder if that is a way that we can see them implementing this, the diamonds currency in the future.
Yeah, potentially. I'm not sure. I think they would have to add quite a bit more value to what a diamond is for people to care enough to do that. That's the thing. And maybe, you know, so the big thing with like social sites with Zynga is I think what people want to spend a lot of money in is you can then access higher buy-in games with this fake money, which obviously could never apply to real money poker. But you could also pimp up your how you look on the table. So maybe you unlock custom avatars, you can buy paraphernalia around you that other people can see. You can see in PokerStars VR as well, you can buy like a cigar at the table and things like that. Maybe that would be enough that a casual player would be, you know, it's kind of showing off, you know, what you've got. Maybe then, but as it stands right now, no one's going to care that, okay, you've got an extra pigeon to throw at me, or you know, you can rabbit hunt cards enough that people are going to be like, oh, I'm going to start become a streamer to get that, you know. That, I mean, keep in mind that, as you say, like, you're already highly motivated to grind on Party Poker. They have a VIP program that pays up to 60% in rake back, you know. That could be thousands of dollars, so I don't think people, if they're not encouraged by that, they won't be, because they, you know, get some more throwable objects. But yeah, we will see. I mean, it's very much unknown territory about whether this will resonate with enough of the player base to follow through into, ultimately they plan to introduce this at the desktop client as well. If they make that step, I think we can say that it's been a success.
We touched on Run It Once Poker in the last segment, and they are on the list of headlines this week because they have introduced a new rewards program. This comes just months after they actually opened the online poker room. They were applauded by the industry for their innovative Splash the Pot rewards program, which they had at launch. And now they've gone and they've changed things up a bit, and they are providing players with a chance to earn up to a total of 75% in rakeback each week. Nick, what are some of the details around this new program?
Yeah, so now the details are very tricky to understand, and we'll probably keep it somewhat high level because I spent much too long writing about this today and asking Run It Once about how the system works, because it's not entirely clear to me. But very broadly speaking, Splash the Pot they still have. So their system of all rake they collect, it was 51% of all rake they collected is returned to players in the form of random cash drops added to pots at the start of hands, and then you can test for those pots. And as you say, everyone thought this is a very, very cool feature. It is a very cool feature because it makes it fun. It makes it, you know, great as a Twitch stream moment when you get a big pot to contest over. Adds some extra strategy to it, and is ultimately quite generous. The downside is that a lot of people didn't want to have to face the random nature of these cash splashes to get their money back, and then have to contest for that money. So not only do you have to be in the splashes, but you have to then fight for those pots, which sometimes could be, if it's a big splash, just going all in pre-flop and crossing your fingers. So people didn't like that aspect. So what Run It Once done, if they're keeping Splash the Pot, but it's been reduced to 30%, and then they have a fairly traditional weekly rewards program where, based on how much you play, how much rake you pay, ultimately sets you a tier. You work through these tiers every week, from clubs, diamonds, hearts, spades, up to a legends tier, and that will add somewhere between 10% and 30% rake back on top. Then they have this streak rewards and blah 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 that can ultimately get you up to 75%. But broadly speaking, you're going to be somewhere between, everyone has the 30% splashes to contest, and then on top of that you'll get between 10% and 45% more. So some people will be slightly worse off, although they'll still be guaranteed a weekly bonus in their accounts, no strings attached. Most people, I think, who play at all will be back up in that same level, but at least half of their money will come as consistent weekly rewards.
Yeah, I wonder how much the randomness of Splash the Pot played into the decision to move into this direction. And I think that at some level, players like to see those rewards added to their account, or be able to count on a certain amount every month based on the amount that they play. And I think with Splash the Pot, that line is kind of blurred and erased, and you know they're unable to maybe distinguish between what is rewards and what's actual wins and losses at the table. So I wonder how much that has played into, if at all, into the decision to move into this direction.
Yeah, I think I think it's very much based on the customer feedback and the realities that the online poker room has not had the traffic that it wants or needs to sustain it as a business. You know, it's been trickling along at, you know, a few tables running in the European evenings, but nowhere near enough to sustain it 24 hours a day to think about expanding, you know, to other games and stakes. And that's a big problem. And a lot of the feedback people got, they made a lot of bold decisions, as you say, anonymous tables, no HUDs, all these things. A lot of people push back on all of them. It's good to see that. I think this one that they've addressed and the way they've addressed it is very smart. I'm glad they kept Splash the Pot. I'm glad that they've added this system. As I say, it is a bit complicated. It works a bit different to other rewards programs in that you don't like achieve legend status and then you are a legend and you maintain it. Every week you start back at zero and you work your way through the tiers, which I'm not sure if that would be like demoralizing. I think some people liked it when it's like, oh, I'm Party Poker VIP, I can't remember what their term is, but you know, I'm a supernova, I'm a supernova elite, you know, that's kind of who I am, I've achieved that VIP status. This is very much every Monday you're zero, and maybe at the end of the week you'll get to hearts, maybe at the end of the week you'll get to legends, and that is locked in. So that's just a bit different to how other systems work. But once you get past that fact, and honestly, with the whole 4-week streak rewards thing, and it's a percentage of a percentage, and then it's based on your last week play, all this is very confusing. But ultimately, it doesn't matter, because in the client, the way they've integrated this is really nice. You've got this big bar at the bottom that says, at the end of the week, you're going to get a 25-cent bonus. If you complete this progress bar, it's going to be this. And when the progress bar fills up, it goes, okay, cool, come on, you're going to get a dollar bonus. And, you know, it's really obvious what's happening and what's going on. So for the vast majority of people, they probably don't need to crunch the numbers and work out, oh, how much do I get if I move up to spades by Friday? How does that affect my 4-week streak? If you're into that, you can probably crunch the numbers, but you can just play and see this progress bar moving up. And then every Monday, you're going to get a nice little cash bonus in your account that you can withdraw or play with. I think it can only help. I think they had to do something. They're definitely locked into a lot of the decisions they've made, HUDs, anonymous tables, these kinds of things. Blind lobby, 6 max tables only for now, all of this, I think is probably locked in. This was a smart change they've made, and I hope it does, you know, what they need and gives traffic the boost it needs.
Yeah, this change has more of a mission-like feel to it, you know. You're shooting, as you said, not for a status level, but, you know, individual targets, filling up that progress bar. Reminds me a lot. PokerStars had a similar component to their reward system back in the day. Do you remember what that was called?
No, so if anything, I think it's more like what they've got now. So their old rewards program, which had the, you know, bronze, chrome, star, supernova system.
But in addition to that, they had these bonuses that you would achieve every month. I remember, you know, seeing the progress bar. That when you said that's what triggered my memory.
I mean, you do, and you always would have that. And I think so with Party Poker System. So we could talk about that, and that's how that works now. You know, you get you attain a VIP level, and then the next month, you know, you get that level, and you have to hit a certain target to maintain it. So you still got the progress bars. You still got to get something to work through. But the point is, you know, if you achieve, you know, I don't know whatever, I don't know what tiers. Party Poker have got off the top of my head is that you achieve platinum, let's say. Next month you'll start at platinum and you just need to do something to maintain it. Whereas with the Rally One system, even if you achieve spades, the next month you're going to start back at clubs and you have to work your way through. So it's not attaining, you obtain a status, but it's always reset. The end result is ultimately the same. It's more just how it's presented, really. And it took me a while to work out that's the case because, again, you get all these one-off bonuses when you complete a tier. So I was crunching these numbers thinking, well, you know, your percentages are much lower, but in fact, you know, every week you were working through these levels and hitting these bonuses, and so getting this extra kick bonus every time you complete a level. As I say, complicated, but the end result is much the same. You progress through progress bars, unlock money, get cash rewards.
I wonder how this new rewards program is going to impact their promotions that they run. So their current promotions or the promotions that they had run prior to introducing this new reward system, a lot of those were based upon increased rakeback. They had 35-35 promotion, which would let players, you know, accumulate up to 70% rakeback. You know, they had promotions where players can achieve 91%, 101% rakeback, and that's without even the streamer program. And these were some of their major promotions that they were running on the site. It'll be interesting to see if they stay in the same field for these types of promotions now that they have this new reward system.
Yeah, so obviously, so they still got Splash the Pot, so they can still do that. They can still do, you know, double splash, happy hours, and all the cool things they did before. And now they've just got an extra string in the bow for things they can do, depending on what kind of activity they want to encourage. So in fact, to launch this new Legends Rewards program, they are running a promotion this week and next week. Won't even begin to try and explain how it works. I think, like, you start into week three of a streak, of a four-week streak or something. Bottom line is, it kickstarts your tiering through the four-week system. So they can do stuff like that. The other thing they can do is they can tweak how you earn the points to move through these tiers. So this is quite interesting. So their baseline they've got is that you earn a point every 5 cents, right? So if you rake a dollar, you get 20 points. Fine, whatever. But they can obviously give away points for other things. And at launch, they have quite a few other ways that you can earn points. So if you play your first hand of the day, you get a bonus of like 20 points or something. So that encourages people to come back every day. If you log in, I think once a week, you get a little bonus. If you play heads up or three handed, which again, they only have six max tables. So that's basically if you're trying, if you start tables or stop them breaking by sticking around, you get like, in one case, double the earn rate for your points. So
that's different from the traditional way that shorthanded tables have been handled in online poker, where operators would normally give a break on the rake that they pay. This is now increased rewards for, you know, playing shorthanded.
I would guess that their rake table is still going to be less at a two or three-handed table, which would be standard. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head if that is the case, but I imagine that their rake table is different when there's two or three people at a table. But on top of that, yeah, they're encouraging these two or three-handed tables. Now, because they have a blind lobby, tables won't stay two or three-handed for long. The idea is that you keep that table from breaking and it's going to fill back up again. You know, they wouldn't want to encourage it if you were just sniping, you know, two and three-handed tables and then leaving and starting again. But because of the nature of how their lobby works, this encourages people to kind of stick around in tables and get them started.
And does this new rewards program have any impact on the streamer program? And for listeners that may not know what that is, that streamer is a program that Run It Once Poker offers for players that stream a certain amount of hours online. They earn rewards that actually, you know, equate to money.
Yeah. So I don't think it's changed. I believe, I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, but I don't think that that has been changed. But their system was always designed so that the streamer program was always based on the net rake back. So also, sorry, your net rake after your rake back. So, and that was quite a sensible way of doing it. So basically, regardless of your initial rake back, the remainder, you'll get a percentage of that back based on the streamer program. So that way, like, although you can now get like 75% back through the Legends Rewards program, or in fact even higher, if you play loads of two or three handed, you could probably get that up to like high 70s. If you're also a streamer, that's now just kind of lesser percentage that you can get. So now you've only got a 20-25% window, which of that you can get back up to 100% of, or 101% of. And as I say, it's not a simple system. and yeah, they now have three or four moving parts to it. But I'm sure if you're a streamer and a grinder, you can take the time to work it out. Talking promotions and players at the cash game tables, PokerStars, which is not a name you would consider synonymous with kind of cash game promotions these days, has actually run two back-to-back this winter. They had a new promotion called Cardex, which ran for 2 weeks a couple of weeks ago, and that was followed up with Golden Button Challenge, which is running now and finishes at the end of the week. Now, normally this wouldn't be particularly interesting. They used to, a couple of years ago, run these all the time. But they stopped about 18 months ago. They've added them back in again, kind of unannounced and out of nowhere. And it has appeared to have a huge response at the cash game tables.
These promotions, I'm curious as to what type of players these appeal to. You know, do they have a broad appeal across both you know, recreational and high volume players? Are they more appealing to one group over the other? I'm curious who they're targeting with these promotions.
And it's always tricky to say, because their promotions now, and it's the case with both of these two, is that they're personalized based on the player. So we don't really know from the outside how rewarding they are. So they both say, yeah, basically you play cash games and you fill out some kind of bingo-like board. You either like collecting hands based on the hole cards you get dealt, or winning hands with certain cards, this kind of thing. When you do it and you fill out your card in a certain time period, you'll unlock a random prize. And that could be cash, it could be a ticket, it could be whatever. Both of the promotions work in that way, and both of them say the top prize is $5,000. But we believe they're personalised, which means for some people it's much more likely you're going to get a $5,000 prize. The percentages are much higher. Some people, you know, maybe it's capped to a much lower thing, or just the percentages are stretched out a lot more, and maybe your bingo board is much harder to complete for some people. So when you read these promotions, it's hard for us to know how generous they are, and so whether they're going to resonate with casual players or high volume players. All we can say in this case is, from the first day that they launched the first promotion, Cardex, their traffic shot up 10%, which is massive for PokerStars. Yeah. And it has sustained that for the last 2 weeks.
Wow. So with their traffic spiking like that, it leads me to believe that it's got to be appealing to a wide variety of players. You know, this doesn't sound like it's just one group, though I guess it could be. You know, all the high volume grinders have flocked and now are playing tons of tables because they find this reward system so generous or rewarding. But on its face, it feels like this is something that a casual player would enjoy, you know, playing games while they're playing poker or having this additional excitement. Seems like something that might be targeted more towards casual players. So, I'm not really sure who this appeals to more.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it just comes down to how generous they are. If it's very generous and it works out to be quite a high effective rake back, then you're going to get a lot of grinders going like, whoa, hey, look, let's, you know, get back grinding those tables. If we're right and this traffic spike is due to these promotions, which, again, like, it was the day that Cardex came, traffic went up 10%, and they went back to back, literally one finished, the next day the next one started under a very similar structure, and the traffic has maintained that level. Obviously other things have happened. PokerStars have launched new cash games, but that'd be very surprising if that's caused anything like this. They've obviously run some tournament series, so they ran Micro Millions. Again, that would normally affect tournament traffic, not cash game traffic, but it can often have like an additive effect. But our best guess is it is these promotions. And if that's the case, then 100%, obviously they're pretty generous. You know, we've seen Winamax kind of came up with this idea a few years ago with a game called Cash Game Bingo. And that was hugely successful. Massive spike in traffic. Like, I think the first time they ran it, it was like 30 or 40% spike in traffic, to the point that they made this game permanent. And it's still permanent in the client today because customers love it. There's a lot of random nature in it, but it ultimately results in quite a bit of cash return to players net overall. So, you know, maybe PokerStars wanted to do that. They wanted to get grinders back on the site, and they've done it through this methodology. But what's happened is PokerStars is back number one at the cash game ranking. So they lost their pole position to a not particularly well-known network called IDN, which claims to have more traffic than PokerStars. I believe it's self-reported numbers, but Game Intel that tracks these numbers and provides them to us has independently verified that these numbers are, you know, as they seem. They overtook PokerStars earlier on this year. Now, the two have traded places once or twice, but PokerStars has been out of that top spot for a couple of months now. This big spike has taken it back into the number one position.
So getting back to the nature of these card collection promotions, is this similar to the promotion that we talked about recently on this podcast, the Monopoly promotion, which I think was Winamax, right, that ran that?
Yes, so that was it's very much that kind of filling out a board type thing. That was at their Espresso tables, so that was a tournament game. But other than that, yes, it was ultimately the same. But at the start of their Espresso tournament, you'd be playing over a Monopoly card, and then if you complete your Monopoly board or you complete a set, then you get a special prize. Yeah, so it's that kind of thing. It's adding that extra layer of collecting something in either a tournament. And again, PokerStars has done this in tournaments as well. And it's interesting, 2016, 2017, PokerStars ran these all the time. It was the thing they did. Like, every couple of months, it would be Card Hunt, Card Match, Pyramid, Jacks or Better, you name it. Like, and this was the structure they used. And then, like, in 2018, they just stopped. They focused, I guess, their development resources on the new game novelties that we've talked a lot about in this podcast this year, and stopped doing these promotions, like, entirely. I mean, they haven't really run a promotion like this for well over a year. So it's really interesting to see them add this back in. One other component that should be worth mentioning is PokerStars made a big change a couple of months ago where they limited the number of simultaneous cash games you could play at one time. We talked about it on this podcast. That resulted naturally in a drop in cash game traffic by about 10%, 15%, like kind of overnight when they made that change. This has brought it back up to the levels that it was prior to that change. So unless we've entirely missed the boat and they've gone and rolled that change back, which I've heard no one say is the case, but I will say I haven't actually verified that, so maybe somebody's listening can tell us if we've entirely misspoke. In which case, everything we said in this segment in the podcast is pretty much irrelevant, and it's all because they've rolled back this cap on simultaneous tables. But to my knowledge, that isn't the case. But it's interesting to see that it's, you know, it's backed up to those levels that it was prior to that change.
Yeah, so the drop that we saw that came following the implementation of the table limits, have we seen traffic then rise steadily back up, or did it really just flatline at that point and maintain?
Yeah, it's difficult because we've always got the seasonal effects as well. So
right,
yeah. At the time that they implemented this change, traffic was dropping because we were still in the late summer. Ultimately, what we've seen over the last few years is during the winter, during the high season, traffic flatlines, and then in the summer it declines, and then it flatlines, declines. And, you know, with a lot of people moving over to tournaments, you know, that's what happens. So PokerStars cash game traffic is still down double digits year over year. But, yeah, so it was kind of declining. Then there was this big drop, and then it flatlined after that big drop. So in terms of absolute numbers, it went from something like 6,000 average cash game players down to like 5,200, 5,300, something like that, when they made this the table change. It flatlined there for a while, started growing a bit because we were going into the winter season, and then it spiked back up over 6,000 in the last 2 weeks with these promotions, where it now sits to slightly growing again, probably because of the seasonal effects.
Hmm. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, how the holiday season or the winter season, which is usually the high time for online poker, combined with the return to these card collection promotions, it impacts their traffic overall. We were talking absolute numbers there, Nick. Can you give listeners an idea of how those, what are the other top online poker rooms sitting at number-wise, so that they have a relative idea of what these 6,000 or 6,800 seats, butts in seats, means?
Yeah, good question. So if we wanted to look at, the European operators, PokerStars is at, so it's actually at 6,500, just looking at the data today. And then you've got like 888, Party, and Winamax in the 1,000 area.
Oh, so six times their closest competitors.
Yeah. So even with their big drop when they went down to the 5,000, 5,500, and that was like their lowest for a decade, I think, that's still five times more than, the Winamax and the Party Poker and the 888 Poker. Now, with that said, I'm excluding from that count IDM Poker, which, like I said, is at PokerStars level. They're in the 5 to 6 area. And then GG Poker. So GG Poker is a clear third. It is, let me just bring that up, although it's only 1,600, so it's very much in that the second tier. So you've basically got PokerStars and IDN at the top at 6,000, and then you've got GG, Winamax, PokerStars Europe, their network, Party Poker, 888 in the 1,000 to maybe 1,500 mark. iPoker's around there as well. I think iPoker's maybe 600, something like that. And then just to give you a comparison to the second segment we talk about, Run It Once, their number is like 20.
Oh, wow. That's a stark difference there for sure. IDN, though, what do we know about them? For them to be in the same stratosphere as PokerStars, I we have full confidence in Game Intel. So who are the people that are playing on this site that I've only remotely heard of?
Yep, that's a good question. Similar to what we talked about at the start with PP Poker, I'm not sure if they do the private poker club thing. I think they do. I think they have a public network, but they also run these private clubs, and this figure represents that as well. I wouldn't be surprised if PP Poker is up in this stratosphere as well, in the multiple thousands, and that's just based on what I hear about the network, the amount of chatter there is around it. So IDN, very focused in the Asian markets. It's got all their skins are licensed in the Philippines. If I read some out, you wouldn't have heard of them. I'm trying to even think if there's one that's really broken out and tried to, because I don't think any of them are really focused or even operating in the European markets, which is why we don't really talk about them that much or write about them that much. So they operate in their own kind of world, with the exception that they decided a year or two back to get listed in Game Intel. And this is why we hear about them.
So these poker clubs, help me understand this. How are they different from, say, the Pineapple app that people play on, where they, arrange a game outside of the app itself and then settle up later?
Yeah, it's not, I suppose. I mean, it's ultimately that, except it has this internal currency that people use to settle up with. Other than that, though, and that would be, I guess, PP Poker's arguments about why it doesn't have to hold a license and why, it doesn't have to deal with any payment processing or any regulatory bodies, because that's the issue of the host of the poker room.
So these hosts or these agents, they are responsible for collecting and distributing wins and losses.
Yeah, and they are many of them known for allowing people to play on credit. So you will...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So as I say, we're entering a whole different world when we start talking about these kind of sites.
Hmm. Well, I think for now it's prudent to keep them separate when we're talking about the health of the industry.
Although I will say that obviously it's, you know, it's a growing thing, and you know, from a European operator's perspective, that may still operate in many of the Asian markets. I mean, we talk about Asian Focus and GG Network and IDN and PP Poker, but it's not like, you know, PokerStars doesn't operate in many of the same markets. So they are absolutely a competitor. They may just be competing on unequal footing in many regards. Hmm.
So didn't we see structures like these or these kind of poker clubs, weren't they popular in Italy?
Yes, certainly the agent system, unlicensed Italian rooms using that agent model where basically you could go into an internet cafe and, you know, hand over some euros, yeah, and they would set you up an account and sit you down at a computer. Yes, that was a big thing a couple of years ago. I think there was a large clampdown on that, probably mafia-run operation. Mm. But I'm not sure if it's been stamped out entirely. But yes, it certainly was a big deal.
Okay, well, it's I guess it's encouraging nonetheless to see the spike in traffic for PokerStars. It will be interesting to see how that they maintain that traffic over the busy holiday season, and if we see more of these card collection promotions in the near future. Well, that wraps up this episode of the PokerFuse podcast. As a reminder, please give us a like and a subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also follow us and interact with us on Twitter. Nick is at PokerProJones. I'm at SpookyBugs. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.